بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمد ونصلي على رسول الكريم، ما بعد. عن ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما قال: كان عمر رضي الله تعالى عنه يدخلني مع شياخ بدر، فكأن بعضهم وجد في نفسه فقال: لما يدخل هذا معنا ولنا أبناء مثله؟ فقال عمر: إنه من حيث علمتم. فدعاني ذات يوم فأدخلني معهم، فما رأيت أنه دعاني يومئذ إلا ليريهم. قال: ما يقولون في قول الله تعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، إذا جاء نصر الله والفتح؟ فقال بعضهم: أمرنا نحمد الله ونستغفره إذا نصرنا وفتح علينا. وسكت بعضهم فلم يقل شيئا، إلى آخر الحديث. Continuing with the chapter, Imam Nawawi Rahimullah has mentioned, we are encouraged to increase in our doing good deeds, particularly when we reach old age or in the latter part of our life. As we mentioned previously, this is a constant challenge that occurs in the life of every person, the challenge of the effort of dunya and the effort of akhirat. And we find that we are devoting our time and our energies. One is to pursuit of our goals and objectives in this world, and obviously the purpose and object of every person in this world is to prepare for akhirat. Ad-dunya mazra'atul akhirah. This dunya is the field which we will plant, the seeds which we will reap in the akhirat. So we are told, basically, from what we have discussed so far, that as a person starts getting old, as the years are passing, then his consciousness and his awareness of his maut, of qabr, of akhirat, naturally should increase. And we find that the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, just to refresh our memories, was mentioned where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that a person has reached the last point of having an excuse. I'adhar Allah. Allah Ta'ala has left no excuse for a person to whom he took to an age of 60 years. Because so much of time has passed, by now he should have realized. So we find the next hadith Imam Nawawi mentions is the narration of Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. He says that it was the noble practice of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Ibn Abbas was the cousin of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abdullah bin Abbas. He was the son of Abbas bin Abdul Muttalib, who was the uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was quite young at the time of the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We find that during the Khilafat of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, it was the noble practice of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu that he had a group of people around him who he used to generally consult on affairs, take their advice, make mashura with them. We find that this is a very, very important injunction of Shariat. Allah Ta'ala tells us in the Quran, وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is commanded by Allah. We discussed this some time back in great detail. He was sahibul wahi. He received revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was the most intelligent of humanity. Yet despite that, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was his practice to make mashura. He used to make mashura with the sahaba. He used to consult with them in affairs. We shouldn't have this attitude or let this pride enter our hearts that we know too much. We are encouraged. There's nothing wrong. You don't lose anything. You are not in any way humbling or belittling yourself if you will take advice from those around you. However, what is important is that we don't just take advice from anybody. It depends on what we are dealing with. If you're dealing with something of dunya, then take advice of people who know business. If you are dealing with something of deen, then take advice from the ulama-i-kiram. Take advice from people that are qualified to give you advice. But it is important to take advice and to discuss one's affairs. Umar radiallahu ta'ala was a personality of such intelligence that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَوْ كَانَ بَعْدِي نَبِيٌّ لَكَانَ عُمَرٌ. If there had to be a Nabi after me, it would have been Umar. There are many, many instances in the life of Umar radiallahu ta'ala that he would suggest something. He would suggest something to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and thereafter Quran would come down, revelation would come down from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in conformance with the suggestion of Umar radiallahu ta'ala. That kind of intelligence he had. Yet he never used to run the affairs in such a manner that make unilateral decisions, but he would make mashwara. Umar radiallahu ta'ala had a set council around him, which comprised particularly Ashyakh-i-Badr. the elderly Sahaba who took part in Badr. Amongst Sahaba, the most superior class or group of Sahaba were those Sahaba who took part in Badr. لَعَلَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى اِطَّلَى عَلَى أَهْلِ بَدْرٍ فَقَالَ اِعْمَلُوا مَا شِئْتُمْ فَإِنِّي غَفَرْتُ لَكُمْ. Allah Ta'ala looked at the Sahaba who took part in Badr, and Allah said, from now till you die, do whatever you want to do, Jannat is wajib for you. So it was known among Sahaba, these are the most superior Sahaba, those who took part in Badr. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu had a group of elderly Sahaba, ashyakh, elderly Sahaba, experienced people, intelligent people, whose maqam and status was acknowledged among Sahaba. He formed a council of such people, and he would keep them around him, and he would take advice from them, he would consult with them in the affairs of the state. As I mentioned previously, very important lesson we learn from this. In our affairs, have certain people whom we consult with, whom we ask with. This is a sunnah. Mashwara is a sunnah, and inshallah there'll be a lot of barakah and blessings in whatever we do if we will adopt the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. However, contrary to the general makeup of this group, he would include Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu, who was a youngster. Now one young boy and several elderly people. So what happened? فَكَأَنَّ بَعْضُهُمْ وَجَدَ فِي نَفْسِي. Some of them found it strange. They found it unacceptable that a young boy should be included in this group. Why? Particularly in another narration it is mentioned, the one that raised the objection was Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu ta'ala anhu even went to the extent that he addressed Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu directly. And he said, Lima yadkhulu hada ma'ana walana abna'u mithlahu. He said, Umar, why are you including this young man, this young boy with us when we have children that are his age? You have a special council made up of elderly people and amongst them one youngster. So they found this very strange. They said, we got children the age of Abdullah bin Abbas. Why are you including him amongst us? Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Allahu Akbar. What response does he give? First response, innahu min haythu alimtum. Don't you realize where he is from? You know where he is from, meaning that he is from Ahl Bayt. He is from the family and the progeny of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So he's not an ordinary youngster. In his veins is flowing the blood of the lineage of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Secondly, Abdullah bin Abbas, his intelligence, his perception and understanding of Quran and Hadith had become famous even among Sahaba Kiram. He had acquired the title what we refer to as Bahrul Ulum. Bahrul Ulum, that is the ocean of knowledge. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu referring to that, both these things. One is, look at the blessedness of his lineage, look at the natural intelligence and understanding of Quran and Hadith that Allah Ta'ala has blessed him with, which was also the result of the dua which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam made in the favor of Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu. However, because this doubt and because this reservation existed amongst the rest of this group of the council of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, to clear it up, one day Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu called Abdullah bin Abbas in front of this group. And Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu himself says that it is my perception that that day Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu wanted to show them something. This is the reason why he called me. In another narration, Umar radiallahu anhu himself mentions, أَمَا إِنِّي سَأُرِيكُمُ الْيَوْمَ مِنْهُ مَا تَعْرِفُونَ بِهِ فَضْلَهُ. أَمَا إِنِّي سَأُرِيكُمُ الْيَوْمَ مِنْهُ مَا تَعْرِفُونَ بِهِ فَضْلَهُ. That today I will show you something about this youngster, Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, by which you also will accept and realize why I am giving him this special status and honor and recognition. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in front of this council, now mentions the verse of the Quran. In fact, the surah of the Quran that was revealed, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ تَوَّابًا. Umar radiallahu ta'ala reads this surah of the Quran in front of this council. Then he addresses the elderly Sahaba of Badr, whom he would generally consult with, that what do you understand from these verses of the Quran? Before we go into that detail, inshallah tomorrow we'll carry on with that. Very, very important lesson that each one of us should take cognizance of and realization of. Quran is a way of life. Quran is something that we have to introduce in every aspect of our life. Unfortunately, many times I've mentioned this. Today, Quran has become something of barakah, something of blessings. We read it now and then. The other day, I read somewhere, two people were traveling on one train. So one person was reading Quran, the other person got surprised. He says, Has someone died that you are reading Quran? He said, yes, our hearts have died. The hearts have died. That heart which is not blessed with the taluk and relationship with Quran is a dead heart. Today, to some extent, if you are reading Quran, how much are we pondering over the Quran? How much are we pondering over what is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying to us? Allah ta'ala, in the Quran Allah says, Kitabun anzalnahu ilayka mubarakun. This is a book which we have revealed upon you. It is mubarak, it is blessed. What is one of the purposes of the revelation of Quran? Liyaddabbaru ayatihi. So that you ponder over the meaning of the verses of the Quran. We have to ponder. We dealt with quite some detail recently in the same chapter. The verse of the Quran where Allah says, أَوَلَمْ نُعَمِّرْكُمْ مَا يَتَذَكَّرُ فِيهِ مَنْ تَذَكَّرُ وَجَاءَكُمُ النَّذِيرُ. The people of Jahannam will be told, didn't we give you enough life for you to heed the warning, and our warner came to you. Now that one verse, it took us 2 or 3 days to discuss just the meaning of it. So we have to ponder over the Quran, reflect over the Quran. If you look at this surah of the Quran that was revealed, like I mentioned, we will translate it tomorrow. The translation is simple, but what is the underlying meaning? Allah wants us to ponder, reflect, realize, take sabak, take ibrat, take lesson from the Quran. Quran, when we will learn to read Quran, attach ourselves to the Quran, sit with the ulama ikram, understand what is the meaning of the Quran, look at the accepted tafsir and commentaries of the Quran, read the translation, ponder and reflect over it, we will automatically experience the nuraniyat, the sweetness, the spiritual benefit of it. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq.